Let me ask you something. If you were here last time we met, 2 weeks ago, I was pretty pumped up. God had been speaking to me, and a lot of us are getting visions and dreams and starting to believe for what God had promised over our lives many years ago. I believe this sermon is a continuation of that. How many feel there is a call of God in their lives? God has called you. Well, let me just say this. If you're born again, you've been called. Okay? Just let me say that. There's no way that God would call you and then have you sit on your butt. God chose us and called us. There's a calling in our lives to fulfill a destiny He has for us, a plan and purpose. And I believe, really, when you come to Christmas, you start to see, if you have eyes to see, that this is God's plan. God's plan is to seek and save the lost. That's His plan. He has a plan from the foundation of the world and how He's going to do that, by bringing Jesus into the world. Right? He says that all the way back in Genesis 3. It's actually, if you know your theology, which is really good to study, some of it is, the good old stuff on which theology is founded. But if you study theology, you will discover, because it's all based on Scripture, that God actually, the Godhead, had planned from the foundation of the world in their sovereignty, in their, we call it foreknowledge, they know ahead of time, in creation, that when they create human beings are going to fall. So they've already got a plan to deal with that. That's why, you know, Genesis 3, 15, 16, it says that the woman... out of the woman, a seed will come. Okay? It's pretty cool. Even if you look at Adam and Eve when they sin and they clothe themselves with some skin, animal skin, there's a foreshadow of the blood sacrifice for the covering of this nakedness, the sin. Okay? Are you with me? That might be a little too deep for you, but that's basic theology. Right in the very beginning of the Bible, the gospel is preached. And here we are, 2,000 years, or well, I guess that technically, according to my belief, which is the right one, roughly 4,000 years from creation to the time Jesus comes, God is on the move. God is choosing a people. And out of this people, He's bringing a Messiah out of the line of Judah. And we see that. And out of the line of David. And He's going to make all these prophecies about setting up His king on the Davidic throne. And it's just all the Scripture points to the arrival of Christ and His kingdom. Are you with me? So, Luke, who is a very scholarly doctor and very meticulous and detail-oriented person, he has written his gospel, and there's all kinds of stuff in here that's not in other gospels. And he even says that in the beginning, verse 1, I have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished from eyewitnesses and investigation and carefully from the beginning to write it out for you in consecutive order, he says in my translation. So he's very particular about how he wants to present the good news of Jesus Christ, that Christ is coming into the world. He doesn't start with Jesus. He starts with a Jewish couple. I'm going to call them Zach and Liz. Zachariah and Elizabeth, okay? Now, it's a phenomenal story, but one I just got totally engrossed in. Because if you know a little bit of history, Israel has been pretty much out of God's, not out of His mind, but they're not communicating very well anymore. Okay, for 400 years, it's called the 400 years of silence. Kind of like the 400 years between Joseph in Egypt, and then there were 400 years in captivity before God showed up in Moses. So we have this 400-year interlude where God is silent, there's no prophets, nothing's happening, there's no angelic visitations, nothing. And what happens when God is not present? Chaos, that's good. But what does man or people, what do people do? They create religion. They rely on their religion. There's a lot of religion out there where God's not present. That is the definition of religion. man-made, God's not in. Okay? Technically. The church, the called-out ones of Jesus Christ, are not religious. We have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's just a distinction I need to make. But in this period of 400 years, they go through the motions over and over and over again, doing the same thing. And then one day, God steps in like he did in Moses' time. They're in captivity, and they're not living right. But they're still celebrating all the sacrifices and everything else, and they're waiting. And there's this whole group of people waiting in anticipation for the Messiah to come. And then we start with that, with the Jewish people in anticipation. Let me start at verse 5. The days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias, or Zechariah, depending on the translation, of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So this is a pretty incredible couple. They're both from a priestly line, and he is a priest working in the temple, and she's from the line of Aaron. Wow, that's a pretty powerful line. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. So they're a really godly couple. And he works in the temple. They had no child, verse 7, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advancing years. Now think about that. You know, if you're Jewish, you get married, there's really only one reason to get married, that's to have kids. And if you can't have a kid, as we see through the Old Testament, you're either a sinner, or God's favor is not on you. You've done something somewhere along the line, your family line or whatever, you're barren. You're out from the blessing of God. And everybody looks down on you like you're out of the blessing of God. There's something going on in your life. So you can imagine all that judgment, right? She actually says that shame and just what people think of her. You walk out of your house and you think, oh, they're judging me because I don't have kids. Right. And she's going through all that inner turmoil. Verse 8. Now it came about while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division. So he was a priest, and there were like 24 different groups of priests, and his group was up to serve, and he was appointed. His division of priests were appointed to serve according to the custom of the priestly office. But, verse 9, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Very significant. This guy, Zach, is a priest in the temple. He's got a ministry. But once in a lifetime, because there's so many priests and they kind of do a rotation thing, and you draw lots to go and burn incense, that only happens to a priest once in their lifetime. This is pretty significant for Zach. He is highly favored. We see he's a godly man, walks with God, he's obedient to God. And he's doing what he's supposed to do even beyond that. It's his special day. Okay? God has a time and a purpose, an appointed time where he chooses a person and steps into that person's life. And this is what's going on here. For 400 years, if you hear nothing else, the Jews are without really the presence of God. But this is the day God steps in. This is the day that God breaks the silence and he shows up and he chooses somebody, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. He chooses to show up. His divine appointment is now. Just like all of us, we were wandering aimlessly, not hearing God, not walking with God, and then all of a sudden, what's your experience? He shows up in your life, whatever it is, however it is, who knows, it's God-appointed time. According to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot. That's not luck. That's divine appointments. The whole multitude, verse 10, of the people were in prayer outside. He's inside doing what he's supposed to do at the hour of incense, and they're outside praying. It's church. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. 400 years. Actually, it's almost 500 years without the appearance of an angel. Okay, the time of Daniel, Gabriel shows up. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. Of course it is. course he would have fear. It's an angel. Look at how specific Luke is. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." Incredible. Verse 11, he's standing at the right of the altar of incense. He's not in the Holy of Holies. He's outside where they offer incense, and all of a sudden, as he's working, there's an angel. Wow. Like, think about this. You'd be afraid too. Even John fell down as though dead when an angel showed up. It's an incredible scene. He's gripped with fear. And he hears this: "You're going to have a son." But before that, he hears, "Your prayer has been answered. God has heard your prayer." Now that's powerful. I thought that was incredible. Think about that. God hears your prayer. God hears your prayer. Let me tell you something about this couple. You know, if you do a little research, it says that they were beyond the years of having children. And for this lot to come up to him to actually serve in the temple with the incense means he's probably been doing this a long time. I believe you start at 30 years old as a priest, and you go, and this may or may not happen in your lifetime, but here it happens, and it took a long time. And many scholars believe that we're talking about a roughly 60-year-old couple here. Okay, 60 years old. Now, like I said, the Jewish couple would have expected to get pregnant as soon as they get married. Okay, like, very quickly, that's the plan of God. You get married to have kids. You don't have kids, something's wrong. So what do? They pray. Can you imagine how long they have been praying for a child? Like, just think about that. Now they're 60 years old, way past the age of childbearing. I can't even imagine what that couple's going through. Wow. "You'll bear a son. And the angel said you'll even name him John." Wow. Incredible. And watch this, verse 14. "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." You're not just going to have any son. You're going to have a son. This son's going to bring you joy and gladness. He's not going to bring just you joy and gladness. He's going to bring a lot of people joy. It's not just an ordinary son. Okay? There is no such thing as an ordinary son with God. Right? I'm not an ordinary son. When did God choose me? When did he choose you? From the foundation of the world, it says. Okay? Your name has been stamped in God's book. September 5th, 1964. Mike will come on planet Earth. 34 years later, I'm going to step into his life and I'm going to save him. And I got a purpose for him. Me standing here today is part of that purpose. You, whatever you do for the Lord, that's his purpose. The day you were saved, that's when God announced, "This child is mine, this child is called, this child is appointed, and this child is going to accomplish great things for me." Well, the day you get saved, that's the declaration over your life. Okay? You're not a mistake. Listen to me. If you don't know what your purpose is, why God called you, ask somebody. Or get on your face until you hear it. But trust me, he called you for a purpose. There's nobody that's not called unless they're called for a purpose. If that makes sense. Right? Every single person that God calls, God wants to use powerfully. This is the claim that he says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb, and he will turn back many sons of Israel to the Lord their God." There is his mission. It is he who goes a forerunner before him, the Messiah, in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This child will be used to preach Jesus. And many will come to me because of him. Okay? Now, friends, does that not sound like your mission? Is that not why you're saved? To declare the good news of Jesus Christ to the world? That your life would be a testimony, that others would come to know Jesus through you? Is that why you're saved? Yeah, we looked at that last time with communion, right? We are called in 1 Peter 2 to declare the praises of him who saved us, who bought us, transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We are people of light. We're to shine to this evil, crooked generation, Paul says. That's our mission. That's your call. You have an appointment, a plan that God has for you to walk out. And you know, you may have encountered some terrible things, some difficult things in life. That doesn't mean the plan is canceled. Doesn't mean the calling is off and void. His calling is irrevocable, the Bible says. Just because your circumstance went this way doesn't mean that God's done with you. It doesn't put you on a shelf. Maybe the problem you went through is actually to make you stronger to fulfill the plan that he has for you. Think about that. Good preaching, right? I'm preaching to myself. So. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy after a long time, 30 years, possibly, that they've been crying out for a child. How long did Abraham wait for that promise? 25 years. He was called at 75. He had it at 100 years old. He had the child, the promised child. 100 years old. A long time to have a kid. And what happened along the way? You take matters in your own hand. You know the story, right? Maybe you should look that up in Genesis. Zechariah said to the angel, now this is not good. This is not a good sign. Zacharias, the man of God, righteous, walking blamelessly in the commands and requirements, he says, how shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. There it is. This is what happens. I'm looking at the natural. There's no way that you can fulfill this because in the natural, I can't do this anymore. Right? Me, at 60 years old, my wife at probably close to the same age, we cannot have children. You can't do this. How are you going to do this? That little statement, how shall I know for certain? Scholars say is exactly like the Hebrew in the same phraseology of Gideon asking for a sign. I need a sign. I don't believe it. I need to see evidence that you're going to do this. Look to your right. There's this giant angel that Daniel saw, and he's standing right beside you. And Gabriel actually means what? God is my strength. It's the man of God who came down from heaven, the angel Gabriel, who is right there with you. How big a sign do you need? What is he demonstrating? Lack of faith in his God. Unbelief. He's gotten so comfortable in his religion, going day after day, whenever, once, I think they serve twice a year for a week at a time. So he goes to the temple and he's just going through the ritual. It's another day in Happyville. Right? It's easy to get there, is it not, when you're waiting and waiting and waiting for God to answer. You get discouraged. This will never happen. Oh, we're way past. Friends, we are not natural people. We are supernatural. God is not a natural God. He's a supernatural. I can do anything, God. Look at verse 37. It's very clear, almost in the middle of the chapter. Nothing will be impossible with God. Have you forgotten, Zach, you man of God, you, when you read all this and you hear it in the temple, you hear the word of God read, have you forgotten all the things he's done in the last 4,000 years for the Jewish people? All the miraculous things? Zach, where's your faith? He gets disciplined. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I am a representative of God. I actually have come on his behalf, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. He's the first one to hear the gospel. This is the gospel. That word good news, it actually is the word gospel. He hears the gospel first. What is the gospel? That God steps down into planet Earth to do what we can't do for ourselves. He's going to use Zach and Elizabeth to announce the arrival of his Messiah. There's no greater calling. Think about that. Friends, the question is, what do we do while we're waiting for God to get us to that promise, to get us to that place of, I know I've been called for a purpose. I know the calling over my life. I know people have prophesied. People have said stuff about me. God, when are you going to get me there? How long are we going to hang on? When are we going to give up? When are we going to lean on our own understanding and do something in our own flesh? That's really the message here. And because he defaults to that, he's not treated well. He can't speak. Verse 20, behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words. What is God looking for? Faith. He's looking for faith. He's looking for people who will continue to believe, even if it's a long time. Watch what he says, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time. There's a proper time. There's a proper time. I'm telling you this. I said last week, Freedom House has been in existence 14 years. You know, in natural, it should be growing. Okay? It should be, I don't know, is there a, can we measure 14? At 14 years, you should have 353 people in your church. I don't know if we can do that. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what we can say. We don't have this chart. Oh, we've been, you know, 13 years, they should, 12 years, they should, oh, 14 years, they should. That's not how God works. We got to keep hanging on and keep believing, okay, no matter what. And some of you are realizing you're starting to get closer to your calling, to seeing the fruit and the evidence that this is why you're here on planet Earth. Right, Aaron?
Yes.
Right? You're getting closer. This is what he says. Everybody's outside. Wow, that's taking so long. What's happening? Man, this guy, he's something must be going on in there. He should be out by now. And the people were waiting for Zacharias, were wondering at his delay. When he came out, he was unable to speak to them. I can't even imagine. Yeah. Like, you really can't put your head around this. He's in the temple, and he has this experience. He comes out of the temple, and he's not able to talk. So they immediately think, uh-oh, something happened to this guy. He must have saw. It says, okay. They realized that he had seen a vision. And he's using sign language like he never used before. And he's trying to communicate. And then he's got to go tell his wife. I can't use words to talk to my wife. Maybe that will answer her prayer. Finally, some peace and quiet. Think about that. Think about trying to tell your wife or your spouse, God met me. I saw this incredible vision. And here's what's going to happen. A child's going to come. But first, we have to do what we need to do to make it come. All that you've got to say without words. Crazy. Crazy. And it came about when the days of his priestly service were ended that he went back home. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. And she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, probably for shame and all that stuff. This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. See what she's feeling? You see what she's going through? Shame and disgrace. And people have been judging her. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to sit in Galilee called Nazareth. So that's the story of Zach and Elizabeth. Incredible. And then if you go to 57, we jump a little bit. We go into the story of Mary and Jesus, and then we go to verse 57, we return back to Elizabeth. The time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. So by now, after 6 months, I believe, well, probably getting close to the due dates, they would obviously start to see that she's pregnant. That's why maybe she hid for 5 months. They were rejoicing with her. They were rejoicing with her. Look at verse 66. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? For the Lord has certainly been with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, blessed be the Lord God, for he has visited us. That's a great statement. He visited us. Finally, after 400 years, he visited us. Incredible. I am amazed at the reaction of the people. Because in verse 58, this is not just about Elizabeth and Zach. This is about God ministering to all the people. All the people, all their neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord was back. The silence is broken. God had stepped in. And he used this couple, this poor middle-aged couple who were disgraced and barren. And he used them after all this crying out. God used them. God is a God who is faithful to his promise. He has not abandoned us. He has come and he's making a way. Listen, the prophecy of John that he will announce the Messiah. He's a forerunner. He will prepare the way of the Lord. What does that mean to them? The Messiah is coming. This is what we've been waiting for all our lives. The Messiah is coming. And he's going to use Zach and Elizabeth, and everybody's happy for them. And there's a big celebration. You know, and finally, when they go to name the baby, his lips are loosed and he's able to speak again after what? Over 9 months of being not able to speak. Some say, the Greek even says he may have been deaf and mute. Now think about that. Think about not being able to talk to your wife and your friends and all the people you go to church with. And try to tell them God chose you. But here's the thing. Elizabeth had disgrace because she couldn't bear a child. What do you think happened to Zachariah? Everything. That guy can't speak. What do you think happened? I thought he was supposed to be a man of God, you know. That's God's judgment. It's God's judgment. Think of the disgrace this couple held. That's why they went in seclusion for 5 months. At least Elizabeth did. But then it's just like, here's the reality. God's coming. He used me to bring the announcer, and he's going to fulfill it. He's going to fulfill it. And I love verse 40. Elizabeth goes to see Mary, or Mary, the other way around. Came about, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, just as it was prophesied. This baby in her womb is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out in a loud voice, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit." She makes this incredible declaration over Mary and baby Jesus, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. And these guys are moving into why they were created. Their long wait is over. And I wrote some points down here because it's incredible, really, when you read this story and how it applies to us. This is the application, okay? Because I don't want to go too long. I just want you to get this in your spirit. I wrote, it is possible to get in a religious rut and forget the dream you've been praying for. Okay? I'm here. I believe God is here. I believe this is what happened with me. God's calling you out. It's time. It's coming. I wrote, God cares about his people. He hears their prayer, verse 13. You don't have to be a superstar. Would you go with me to 1 Corinthians 1:26? You don't have to be anybody special. 1 Corinthians 1:26. These guys were just, you know, Zach was just one of many priests. There was a whole whack of them. There were so many that, you know, his time came up once a year. There were at least 365 priests, if you think about it. Everybody got one shot at this once in their lifetime, I should say. Who knows how many? Because there were lots and lots of priests, they said. So, verse 126. Consider your calling, brethren, brothers and sisters, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. These are just ordinary, poor temple workers. Now they're old, and they're disgraced, and she's been barren for her whole life. And they believe the dream is over and they're just going about their regular business. But God says, I choose you, not because you're special, not because you're anything, just because I'm God. And I choose you. And I'm going to fulfill the calling. So he cares about his people. God knows when to show up, exactly the time. He knows exactly how to get our attention. You never know when, but his timing is always perfect. God's never late. Okay? He never goes, oh my God, I missed it. He never says that. He says, hey, I'm God. I'm here exactly when I said I'd be here. Okay? Timing is His, not ours. Patience is a virtue. Just when you think it's too late, guess what? It's never too late for your prayer to be answered. I said they're roughly 60 years old, praying for a child. I'm assuming they stop praying. Once you reach that age where I think, okay, we should probably give it up because we can't have kids. We're like 60 years old and our time is gone. You stop praying. But the prayer's still out there. Right? Still going around. God bends His ear. It's probably, you know, I don't know how often these angels pour out the prayers before God, but maybe that one just got poured out again. I don't know. That's bad theology maybe, but think about it. That prayer comes up before the throne. Oh yeah, Zach. Yeah, I got to answer that prayer. Today's the day. His answer is about His plans, not necessarily ours, okay? We have got to see things from His perspective. He doesn't save us and choose us and call us for our benefit. I mean, He saves us. That's a pretty big benefit. Gives us eternal life and all that stuff. That's huge. But we are called to fulfill His plan. What is His plan? To declare Jesus to the world, to further His kingdom on planet Earth. Okay? That's His plan. And He wants to use each and every one of us. And when we think about it, we need to have that attitude. God, You called me, You chose me, I'm Yours. Okay? For You. I surrender my life, I give my life to You. Use me however You want. This is my calling in life. Okay? That should be the cry of every Christian. It's about furthering His kingdom, and it will always promote His Son, Jesus. It will never promote ourselves. We don't go into ministry or do what we do to bring glory to us. We bring glory to Him. That's why we exist. Okay? He's sovereign, omnipotent God. When God shows up in your life, He expects a radical response. He doesn't expect you to go, I need a sign. I just gave You a sign. No, I need a better sign. You know, you wet this side. I want You to wet the ground beside it and leave that dry. Don't play with God like that. If you come to church one day and you can't speak, we'll know that you played with God. Okay? You don't want to be testing God all the time. Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. Okay. What He's looking for is faith. We live by faith, not by sight. We never go, well, I'm beyond that age. I can't do that anymore. It's impossible. Verse 37, chapter 1, with God all things are possible. Okay? That's how we live our life. His calling, He expects us a radical life. He expects us to live by faith. His calling is usually something out of the ordinary. If you can do it in the natural, it's probably not from God. If you need His ability to get it done, then it's probably from God. Okay? God gets no glory when you can do it on your own. He is an extraordinary God who does extraordinary things through His people. It's about God getting the glory on us. His plan for you and with you is to make disciples. Now, in verse 58, if you look at all this stuff, I pointed them out, the people are impacted. The story of Zechariah and Elizabeth has an impact on the people. And if you read this, many times it uses the word joy. Joy, gladness came into these people. Their lives witnessed to the people. And those people were brought to the Lord because of them. Okay? John went out, even their child, you know, 9 months later, and then probably 30 years before he started preaching. 30 years before he starts to announce that Jesus is here. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Okay? He's concerned about people. He's concerned about using you to make disciples, to draw people to Him. That's why He calls us. It's good news. It's joy. It's always about the good news of Jesus. It's always about God desires to bring joy into our lives, and in His presence is fullness of joy. Okay, so it's about coming to a place where God is my joy. The joy of serving Him, of living for Him, of seeing Him move in other people. I know He's real. That's it. So let me conclude with this. He has a plan for every single one of us. Okay, if you're here today and you're hearing this, and whether you hear this or not, He still has a plan for you.
That's true.
He saved you for a purpose. And I think the lesson of Zach and
Liz,
we'll call it, is one of hanging on to the dream, not giving up hope. It's one of realizing that someday God will fulfill. Friends, it may be in your death that God shows the world His plan. Right? It might be in the way you suffer that God shows the world that He's in you and using you powerfully. We don't know how God can use you. It might be through your trial, your circumstance, whatever your life is, through your hardship, your divorce, your deliverance. You know, there's a reason you ended up a drug addict. So that one day, He can set you free from that and you can tell the whole world. Right? God never wastes time. And I just want to think about that. But most of all, if God has not broken into your life yet, if He's not broken the silence, don't give up on God. Keep believing and keep trusting and keep crying out to Him, because He hears prayer, and in His perfect timing, He will answer your prayer. Okay, for that spouse you've been praying for. Friends, I can tell you how many people came to their, you know, to Christ on their deathbed or while they were suffering and in the final moments of life. You never know when God is going to show up and be God. Okay? Don't give up. You never know when that deliverance is going to come, when that healing is going to come. But even if it doesn't, God still saved you to declare His Son Jesus. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Out of no effort of our own, because of nothing we've done, you did not choose us because we were noble or better or could recite the Bible or anything like that. Right? You just chose us in your sovereignty. And I pray, Zach and Liz, Lord, that we would just experience, first of all, your presence in our life, your calling, that, Lord, you would cause us to persevere and hang on, knowing that one day you will show up. One day you will answer the prayer, that one day you will accomplish the purpose for which you have called us. Even as Paul said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. I press on. We're going to choose today to press on. Because one day, Lord, you're going to break in. And you're going to do something incredible. If, Lord, you haven't done it already. But Lord, you are asking us to be faithful. And I thank you, Lord, for all the tough times we've had in life. All the difficult times. All those times where we thought, why is this happening to me? I can't go on. All those Job experiences. Lord, you are glorified even in those difficult times as we come out of them, and even as we praise your name in the middle of them. And Lord, we are reminded that Zach's first words when he could finally speak were praise unto your name. May we be a people who live to praise our God no matter what's going on in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty and your grace and your mercy. And I just pray that everyone would be blessed knowing that you are for them, not against them, and you can do the impossible in their lives and in their families, and that you are God who answers. We praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.